friends. Thanks for taking time to listen in on a conversation Dick and I had about two major hot topics from the 2023 winter break. Gunther Steiner's departure from Haas and Lewis Hamilton's move to Ferrari in 2025. As you'll hear, we might not have been airing episodes, but John, Dick, and I have been talking offline. These recordings are evidence of that. Shout out to listeners Russell, Vivek, Manolito, Sanjay, Core Coder, Troy, Steven, David, and Patrick. You're valued members of the Two Guys, A Girl, and F1 community. Your feedback reinforced to the guys and me it was worth broadcasting our thoughts. Hope you enjoy our conversation. Dick, I want to find out what you think. Haas is an American team and Gunther has developed quite a high profile in F1's marketing and social media world. I think it's kind of worth noting and taking time to discuss the hot topic that is Gunther Steiner's departure from Haas. You didn't see it coming. What is your take on it?
I think at the end of the day, there was probably maybe a couple things. I mean, you know, if you look at it just with what your eyes can see, right? Haas just, I mean, they've been struggling for really 3-4 years now, right? I mean, they came in, they did really well. They were the little team that could, they were punching above their weight and all those other kind of sporting euphemisms. And then, you know, they got to 2021, the cars were pretty bad. They had rookie drivers, didn't score a point. The following year, reg changes, they did a little bit better, and then they started backsliding. And now in the 2023 season, they finished 10th. And man, there's a lot of money difference between 10th and sort of 5th or 6th or 7th in the Constructors' Championship. And so I think the lack of performance, somebody had to take the fall. And I think that it, you know, the buck stops here, and that was Gunther. I don't think it's totally fair because, honestly, if you go and you look at what the other teams are doing, Aston Martin has invested in a brand new factory. McLaren has invested in a brand new wind tunnel. Williams is like redoing everything. Haas really has not had any of that kind of investment thrown at them. You know, Gene's got the money, probably. So it makes you wonder what Haas's commitment is to the racing. So is the canning of Gunther more of a show firing, let's call it that, for the benefit of their sponsors to say, oh, yeah, we're on top of it. We're going to shake things up at the management level and things are going to get better. I wonder about that. But then on the other side, you know, I would be willing to bet that Gunther is more popular than Kevin Magnussen or Nico Hülkenberg, their drivers. I'll bet he has more of a bigger fan base than those two guys. So why would you kill off your most popular asset? Which then says to me, maybe Gunther had become too big for Gene Haas's liking. Maybe Gene's ego couldn't take it anymore.
Mm-hmm. I think that's very valid position. How do you think they're going to move forward? I know that they've made some decisions on his replacement, right?
Yep. And, you know, his replacement's been with Haas since the beginning. He's been a technical director and race engineer, that sort of thing. And so, you know, the message that's coming is, hey, we're going to go from a business guy, and I'm using that in kind of air quotes, but a more business-focused person to a more technically-oriented person. But, you know, the other side, like I was just saying, if they don't have the technical resources that they need, doesn't really matter who they hire and who they put in to whatever position. Because let's face it, now all of a sudden they don't have a technical director, mm-hmm. you know? And mm-hmm. so, you know, and I'm sure that's going to be hired. They got to hire it, right? But, you know, if you think about like with McLaren, with Andrea Stella, right, they put a technical guy in as team principal and it's worked beautifully for them. But the thing is Stella came from championship winning teams, you know, the new man right. at Haas. I mean, he doesn't have that pedigree.
What is Gunther Steiner's background? Is he a technical guy or was he more in the business side?
Yeah, he was more on the technical side. I think he was got a start as a mechanic, if I'm not mistaken, and then worked his way into management roles, you know.
Yeah.
You know, it makes you wonder, though, because, you know, here's Otmar Szafnauer, right?
Mm-hmm.
He'd been sacked by Alpine. Wouldn't that be the guy you would hire, right? somebody who's been to the movie, kind of knows the game.
Yeah.
That's who I'd hire.
Well, it kind of does. It's as I'm listening to you, I'm kind of thinking, I wonder how much is this is reminiscent of what we saw at Ferrari, right?
Yeah.
With an internal hire moving up, everyone believing maybe this could build the continuity of what has been, so you don't lose the whatever momentum you may have,
Right.
but you do need to have, like, I guess I'm wondering if Gene Haas thinks that he can handle the business component and maybe step in more than what he is already doing in this next year, because it seems kind of close to be making such a decision to when we are going to see the start of a new season, or
Right.
at least to publicly make this disclosure,
Right.
right?
Yep.
I would imagine this has been happening since before
Yep.
Christmas. You would
Yeah.
you just you, and maybe the maybe all the things that you just said coming together, they just said we're not, oh well, you could say you can't go any further than 10th, and so it's
Right.
worth taking the risk of we'll build up,
Yep.
and I mean, how much worse can it get? And maybe in the meantime you can do the keep somebody who's in-house into the role so you don't lose any of the momentum you've been building, and then do this quality search you want to do over the next year and see what that puts you into a position of bargaining to bring in someone of high quality. Because I guess some could argue, I don't necessarily know that I would, that Otmar, his track record isn't exactly that great. Even though he's been to the party, he hasn't exactly been top of the heap, right? So, and maybe you're
But he'd be
hoping you
great for
can,
Haas.
right. And so it just, I don't know that we would put him in the same caliber as like a Stella, or even I would say Vals, right? Coming
Right.
in and building in and inspiring the team. Unfortunately, I
Right.
think Otmar's a really nice guy. He seems like a really quality person.
Yeah, I mean, you think about how he kept Racing Point open, you
Yeah.
know, when it, and you know, having been in a position of being an executive at a company that was floundering and just making sure that people get paid and the rent gets paid and all that kind of stuff. I know how hard that is because I've lived that movie and, you know, hundreds of employees and all that kind of stuff. And Otmar did the same thing. And really that kind of skill set is probably what Haas needs right now. It's not the skill set that, say, McLaren needs, right?
Yeah. It'll be very interesting, I think, to see how they move forward and how even the driver market will be affected, you know, with Nico and Kevin.
Oh yeah,
Yeah.
for sure.
Okay, well, thanks for letting me have this hot take with you. I appreciate it.
Absolutely.
Okay, that's Günther Steiner's departure from Haas. Now for the big shocker, the one that takes the cake. Lewis Hamilton to Ferrari in 2025. You could have knocked me over with a feather. Thankfully, as you'll hear, Dick was more stable than me when it came to the news. John might not be on the recording, but he was definitely the key to us discussing this whole saga. Okay, Dick, we're recording this before the season is officially starting. We've had a couple of different notable moments in the winter off season, hot topic wise. And I think we've told the audiences that you, me, and John, we're constantly talking about F1. We just happen to turn
Right.
on the recording when we do the podcast. So let's flash back. I don't know how many days it's been now, but all I can remember is you, me, and John have this text conversation. It's constantly going. I happened to wake up at 5 that morning after working pretty late into the night and happened to turn to my phone, which I know you're not supposed to do. When that was the first thing you wake up, and I see that you, no, I think it was John. John put it into the text combo. And I thought, am I dreaming? Like, is this like something, like, is this real? And
Right.
it was that Lewis is going to Ferrari. Initially, I was like, I don't really see why Lewis is doing this. I can't see the upside outside of what is it, nostalgia. But then as we dialogued via text, and maybe probably as I woke up, it came a little bit clearer. And we decided we wanted to have a little bit more of a public conversation on this topic. And I don't know, maybe this will be a series the way everything's shaping up right now for 2024, where we'll call it like silly season drama.
Oh, yeah.
even though we're not really the ones who like to focus a lot on drama, we like to be more nitty-gritty and help people get into the sport. I don't know, the audience can tell us, and if they want us to talk about this, we can't. But here are some of the questions that I posed to you and to John. How in the world does Lewis continue racing with Mercedes in 2024 after such a public announcement? Like, I just don't understand how you can do that. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, it's been done before and done successfully. You know, I mean, Alonso did the same thing back in like 2006, at the beginning of the 2006 season. He announced he was leaving Renault, won the world championship, and then he went to McLaren. And, you know, he was teammates with a rookie named Lewis Hamilton. So, and that didn't work out so well either. McLaren does have a history of not managing their drivers, by the way. Anyway, long story made short, it's happened before. It could happen again. I think he's got a good enough relationship with Toto Wolff, even though I think Toto must be hurting on the inside and he's just not letting on. Yeah, I think it could very well be that Lewis will do a really good job. I do think that, you know, this announcement came at a really interesting time. Lewis had his first run in the Mercedes simulator, like I think it was like 2 days before the announcement. I just wonder if he saw something that he didn't like and he said, yeah, I'm out of here.
Yeah, I think so. And I was listening to, I think it's the F1 Nation podcast, and Lawrence Barretto, I guess, has been the one who's had the scoop and maybe even saw this coming. And he noted that Lewis, in the negotiations for his Mercedes contract, had asked for a 3-year contract and instead got a 1-1 by the end of it. And that he might have been upset by that. And then I think we had read some, I don't know who sent me the article, that Lewis had asked for an ambassadorship with Mercedes and the board had chosen to not let that become active until 2035. And I thought, well, okay. If you're sitting here and kind of hoping that they can figure this out, you really have the ability and the desire to win that additional championship and really set yourself above all other racers in the history of the sport. Is this where you're gonna, is this the moment you say, I'm gonna move on? It seems like, I'm not saying that he's made the right decision. I really have, I feel like we gotta just wait and see how this works out. I hope all the best for him. But then I don't remember if it was you or if it was John who said it's also the Holy Grail. Can you explain what that means?
Yeah, I mean, Ferrari's got that mystique. They've got the Tifosi. They're one of the most widely recognized brands in the world. And as much as Mercedes is certainly a great brand in itself, Ferrari takes it to a whole new level. And so to be the guy that pulls on the red overalls, there's only, there's only two in the world who do that. It's a pretty special deal. And given the problems that Ferrari has had since 2007, when Kimi won their last world championship. Hey, you know, Alonso couldn't bring him a world championship. Vettel couldn't bring him a world championship. If Lewis can bring him a world championship, he can then point to that and say, see, I didn't just luck into it because I signed with Mercedes at just the right time. I really am good. On the other hand, he doesn't lose anything because if he can't get a world championship driving for Ferrari, he can say, hey, you know what? Alonso and Vettel couldn't pull it off either,
Hey,
right?
that's what I said in our text conversation by the end of it, after you two had walked me through the analysis. I love it. I love that I was on the right track. Thank you.
Absolutely. There's another piece too that I wonder about, and that is that, you know, every year there's kind of like a peer vote among Formula One drivers, and they vote for who they think is the best driver on the grid. Lewis doesn't win it. It's Alonso. And that's got to
Interesting.
rankle. That's got to drive Lewis crazy. I mean, here he is, this statistically the greatest F1 driver ever, and he ain't getting respect. He ain't getting the love from his peers like Alonso is. So if he can go there and do that and win a world championship at Ferrari, that also helps him in terms of how he views himself in the world, I think. Catch
Oh,
that
wow.
winning.
Yeah, I mean, that's like a psychological
Sure.
thing. Okay, well then talking about psychological, we've talked a lot about this driver and the psychological repercussions of driving for Ferrari, Charles. And then now we have Carlos. I really hate to see these two split up as teammates. I do think that this move of Lewis to Ferrari means Charles needs a good psychologist, both in the year that's leading up to this, and definitely once Lewis arrives. I really thought Carlos was going to get this renewal, you know, because that was what everyone was wondering. Why did Charles get the extension that was undefined contract? And then Carlos was still kind of waiting. And then boom, this pulls out. It seems like really Carlos has a lot of opportunity right now as to how he spins this, because it's really not a reflection on him. Like, if it's a choice for a team between the potentially the greatest racer in history versus you, like, at least that's who beat you out. It wasn't like someone from a lower statistics.
Some kid out of Formula Two.
Right. And so that was when I was looking at the Ferrari side of the equation. And then I thought, initially, I thought, Fred Vasseur, wow, he really is showing some changes there. But then as I read, it seems that John Elkann, the board chairman, really was the one that had some persistence in his wooing of Lewis. But I think as I've process this more, I think it's probably a little bit of both. Like, Elkin probably was smart to highlight the fact that Fred Vasseur and the history that Lewis has with him as a selling point, it seems like. And then what Vasseur is already probably putting in place is giving Lewis enough hope that, you know, this could change, this could be the thing that he's looking for, and maybe get that grail, that holy grail. Isn't this going to be the first time Lewis is driving a car without a Mercedes engine? And considering Ferrari's engine issues, do you think that they're going to be able to fix that and get that done? And Lewis can, like, what does that impact a driver, I guess, by changing changing like that?
Ferrari now has a good engine that's reliable. They struggled a few years ago. They were forced to make some changes. They found the power, and according to everything I've read, the Ferrari engine is right on pace as the very best engines out there. The Honda maybe is a little bit stouter, but I don't think there's anything to choose from really between the Ferrari and the Mercedes. That said, you have to think that the Ferrari is going to drive a little differently than the Mercedes. I mean, it's kind of inevitable, I think. So he's going to have to spend a lot of time in the simulator getting used to the way the Ferrari engine works. He's going to have to work with his engineers because, switches and dials that he's used to being in some certain position on the steering wheel of the Mercedes may not be there with the Ferrari. And so either he's going to have to get used to the new steering wheel, or he's going to have to ask the engineers to make some changes to his wheel. It's going to be one or the other.
Oh, so it's not so much the engine as much as it will be the steering wheel, which makes so much sense because of all the different things and that they are
The different
specific to
settings
the,
and what does this do and all that kind of stuff. And the team's going to operate differently from the Mercedes, as we've seen just from the real time decision making during a race on strategy and all that kind of stuff.
do you want to tell the audience the meme you sent us? The other day, can you describe
Yeah,
it?
basically it was a touring car race, if it's the one I'm thinking of, and it shows Lewis making a pit stop, and these guys, there's damage to the car, and they're just taking sledgehammers and just beating on the bodywork and all that. And then they take this huge strip of tape and just tape the bodywork down and send the guy out again. That's kind of a Ferrari pit stop, so anyway, yeah,
That's
pretty
great.
funny.
That's funny.
Pretty funny.
Okay. It seems like Mercedes would want to put him on gardening leave, but that doesn't make financial sense.
No.
But they wouldn't want to let him anywhere near the car. But then I'm wondering, with the rules change, how much does that really impact? Do you see where I'm kind of trying to understand?
There's going to be a certain amount of, I'm going to call it intellectual property, for lack of a better term, that is going to leave with Lewis, and that will impact 2025 when the rules don't change. For 2026, maybe, but by that time, everything has moved forward so much faster that it really doesn't, I don't think it's going to make a whole lot of difference.
So then this could be kind of like when he switched over from McLaren to Mercedes, like the timing of it because of the rules change works to his benefit. Maybe that's what he's believing he can repeat again in this equation. What does it say about the 2024 car?
Well, I'm like you. I think that he saw something he didn't like, and that just convinced him and kind of pushed him over the edge, I think. And so I think it suddenly solidified. You know, he was probably thinking, yeah, maybe I should go with the Ferrari deal. And I think he saw enough that it was just sort of like, yeah, let's get out of here.
Here's the other question. I think is interesting. The timing of it happens after McLaren's also signed Norris for an extended deal.
Yep.
Right. Even though they had him on for a pretty long deal. And then they have Piastri. If for some reason Zach Brown got the wind of this coming up the pipe somehow, really smart of him to nail down his two drivers for an extended period of time. Though I think it's funny because one of the statements that I don't remember which one of you said it, that F1 contracts aren't super strong. And that freaked me out as an attorney. I went, what? That doesn't work well in my world.
Yeah, I would say they're very, very strong, but because, you know, here's the deal. If a driver isn't happy, then you're going to be paying him millions of dollars to drive in a situation that he's not happy about. So you're not going to get your money's worth. So you're better off extracting something from him or the team that's trying to get him and then let him go on his way, you know? And so let him buy himself out of the contract or let the team buy himself out of the contract. So yeah, they're not worth the paper they're written on, but it has to do with the spirit and intent of the sport.
It also seems like Lewis is kind of walking down the same path as Seb. You brought him up earlier too.
Yep.
I'm hoping it's really not a repeat of that disappointment. I mean, he won't be able to talk his way out of performance, I guess, overall, right? Like, yep. I guess what you did say is where I eventually landed is that, you know, he can say, how do I put this? That the car is what it is and I'm as good as I am. Therefore, it's not me. But it seems like it'll be really hard. With Charles, he is the boy that everybody has watched grow up and believe he can turn into a champion. You know, so I think that there will be a lot of expectation on him being Lewis, to bring them the championships. And I just wonder if he's really going to be able to talk through this in a way that maybe having Toto and Nikki in his corner with Mercedes, will he have that same level of support and protection when he comes to Ferrari? Because it is its own infrastructure. Speaking of... Oh, go ahead. Yeah,
certainly Lewis and Fred have that history because I think Lewis drove in at least GP2 with Fred, and maybe he drove in Formula 3 or GP3 with one of Fred's teams. But, you know, the other part of it is that if you think about it, you know, Lewis is a hard racer and, you know, talented and, you know, all those, you know, he's battle hardened. Right. Mm-hmm. But the other side is I do believe that he's got a pretty big dose of Jackie Stewart running through him. And I almost wonder if it's very possible that Lewis, let's say it all went well, he could win a championship and at the same time help Charles from the mental standpoint of being able to be a champion in his own right as well. In other words, he would be a teammate and in-house psychologist almost. And I could see Lewis taking that on if he took a genuine shine to Charles. It wouldn't shock me at all.
Like almost a somewhat of a mentor kind of.
Yeah, big brother.
Like at least in the first year of them working together and Lewis learning the car, if Charles is smart, that's the way he would probably want to approach it. Of, I'm getting to be against a multi-year champion. Let me extract as much knowledge and wisdom and from that person and observation. And then when it becomes the moment where they're essentially, you know, Lewis is comfortable and he's going to turn it on, be ready to, you know, bring it yourself. That's what I would be telling Charles. Right. And even right now, proving to everybody, like marking your territory, for lack of a better word. And he does have so that leads me to this part, is that Charles really does come in with some things on his side of the scale, the infrastructure is built around him, the relationships that he's got with the team, that's not going to happen overnight for Lewis. And so he needs to really sit confident. This sounds like the true fangirl that I am, but he needs to sit confident that, you know, he can show everybody what we've all think is there, that potential. And that what better way to do it against a multi-year champion as Lewis Hamilton. So turn it into lemonade is what I would say. One of y'all, I can't remember which, said that there might be performance clauses for Charles. And that led me think, do you think he knew as he's negotiating his contract that Lewis was on the horizon?
Oh, I would have to say that it was a highly, you know, it was like a state secret. We could tell you, but we'll have to kill you later.
Yeah, because it wouldn't do well, even when you think about the Carlos aspect of this. Like, if they weren't able to get Lewis, and it seems like it's a genuine relationship between Carlos and Charles. Like, it's not manufactured for social media content, which then goes to Carlos. Carlos, it seems like out of no shortage on his own, right? And I said this earlier, like he lost it to Lewis. That's who he lost the seat to. Where do you think he's going to go from here?
Yeah, it's a great question, you know, because there may be seats opening up. I mean, could it be a one-for-one swap, you know, Lewis to Ferrari, Carlos out of Ferrari to Mercedes? It could happen. I think there's other candidates out there. Certainly, if I'm Toto, I'm looking at Carlos, though, because, you know, I think they believe, Mercedes, I think they have a lot of confidence that George is going to deliver. But, you know, this is not the first time this has happened to Carlos. You know, when he was driving at Renault, he was teammates with Nico Hülkenberg, and he got the boot because suddenly Daniel Ricciardo became available. And he landed, Carlos landed at McLaren and did quite well. So, you know, you just don't know. I think Red Bull's a possibility. Mercedes is a possibility. There's talk that Mercedes may go after Alonso, which is interesting because Fernando and Russell are big time buddies. So if that's the case, Carlos could go to Aston Martin, which would not be the worst thing that ever happened. But he's also very tight with Andreas Seidel, who is the team principal at what will become Audi. So Carlos driving for Audi in 2026, not that far from the realm of possibility. So I think he's got, you know, three or four options probably.
Have you been hearing anything about this kid named Andrea Kimi Antonelli?
Yeah, I hear that he's just really, really fast, but very raw. Probably needs at least a couple seasons in F2. But everybody's saying, oh, yeah, he's really quick. But, you know, I mean, Mercedes has got a number of options. I mean, I heard a rumor about Sebastian Vettel coming back. I don't know, man. I mean,
I would love it. I would love to see that personally.
You know, I mean, him driving at Mercedes and all that kind of stuff. Yeah, that would be awesome. But here's the other side. You know, he expressed publicly doubts about the value of Formula One because of all his green energy beliefs and desires and all this kind of stuff. So how do you reconcile that? I'm not sure how you do that. But on the other side, he's still a young man. There's no question he's really talented. And if he was motivated again, yeah, I mean, he would be pretty significant. But you'd have to convince me that he was motivated to win races as opposed to bring home a fat paycheck.
Yeah, and Mercedes right now doesn't want to hand out money if they can't get the win. Like, they need that for the brand alone. So have you heard about the Albon option? Like, I've heard mixed information on that. And then what about Mick Schumacher? Think there's even a hope for him?
Well, you know, Mick is going to be driving this year in endurance racing, so that actually is going to be really good for him. But in addition, he's going to be a reserve driver. And of course, Mick has been praised by Mercedes for the work he's been doing in the simulator. And so I fully believe that that young man is a whole lot better than he may have shown in his last season at Haas, which we all know Haas has got its own problems. That's another story. But, you know, how about this? Albon goes to Mercedes and Mick fills in for Albon.
Ooh, I like that. I really like that.
That's very possible.
That would be cool. I mean, I also want to see Albon at Williams. Like, Williams is making such progress, and Albon was the one that I think a lot of people just gave up on, in his resilience and willingness to put in the time and all that. And
Oh,
if
yeah.
Williams is on the ascendancy and Albon, leading that, I think would be so beautiful to watch as well. Man, I think we've said this in other conversation. The amount of talent that is out there, and the limitation of seats is so interesting and sad and cool all at the same time. Because even when you were talking about Carlos and his rotation of seats, it made me think of the fact that he went through the Red Bull Academy, and then Albon went through the Red Bull Academy, and we've wondered about how the seat at Red Bull will go. But what you can see is what these drivers did learn in the academy has enabled them to move across the grid, even if it's not staying inside the Red Bull world. That's kind of interesting, which would be a whole nother conversation, I
And of
think.
course, we're all assuming that Sergio is gone at the end of the season. He may have a wonderful year, in which case, Red Bull would be nuts to get rid of him.
That's
So,
right. That's right. Okay. Well, I think that all the pieces, Dick, on this whole shocking moment in the world of F1, Lewis to Ferrari in 2025. Am
Let's
I
sum it
missing
up
anything
like
else?
this. I think we sum it up like this. The silly season that goes on throughout 2024 is going to be absolutely fascinating. If Red Bull does what they did last year, the silly season will be more entertaining than the racing.
That's true. That's great. That's wonderful. Well, we may have to do more of these conversations if our audience tells us they want to hear us
I'm up
do
for it. Let's
this.
do it.
Okay, friends, what did you think of our conversation? What did you think when the news broke that Gunther left Haas? We didn't get into it, but what did you think about how it was handled? Why do you think it happened? What are you expecting from them in the 2024 season? And then Lewis. Were you like me, totally stunned? Did you ever think Lewis would wear red? What do you think about Mercedes' future? Drop me a line via email, sabrina@twoguysagirlandf1.com. On that note, we need your help. Follow the example of Russell, Vivek, Manolito, Sanjay, Core Coder, Troy, Stephen, David, and Patrick. Send us your suggestions of topics you think the guys and I should cover. We also need your help to increase our community. We've been humbled by those of you who have found us and stayed. To continue growing in the crowded podcasting world as an indie podcast, we need you, our friends, to make sure you're following us, rating us in your favorite podcast apps, as well as listening and sharing episodes with other F1 fans. Maybe it's a friend in a different city or even a different country who loves Formula One. Maybe it's a friend who decided to watch Drive to Survive and wants to learn about Formula One. Maybe it's a friend who used to pay attention to Formula One but hasn't in a long while. We believe any of them will benefit from our content. Help us connect with them and more people. Since we're indie, that means we've got day jobs. We'd love to be able to focus on bringing you more content. Help us do that. If you haven't already, buy us a coffee. The link is in the show notes and on our podcast page. Over the break, we were pleased to see how, in such a short period of time, our community has come together and even grown. It was actually the feedback from you that made us decide to continue creating content for the 2024 season. And with that, let me say, we'll keep talking and you can keep listening in because we're just two guys, a girl, and F1. For John, Dick, and me, Sabrina, thanks for listening.